Okay, good to see y'all here today. Now, y'all can tell everybody that's been laying out that Dr. Weaver's back next week. He's here today, but so those that have been missing, they can come back. Take your Bibles and let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 6. We've been talking about the subject of considering Christ. And today we're going to consider His Lordship. Jesus is Lord. See, my wife, she sits over in that corner back there close to the door so she can get out quick. What happens when you follow the wrong spiritual leader? We're going to look at some these verses this morning When you hear a message, that message should always point you to the cross. It should point us to the Savior, because that's what we need. We need Jesus. It says in verse 39 of Luke chapter 6, "And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" Now that's pretty comical if you think about it. Jesus had a sense of humor. I remember when I was at Tennessee Temple, there was a man there named George. He is a blind man. And he had a stick, and he had learned how to get to his classes and where the sidewalks led to his dorm. And he'd walk down the sidewalk, and I'd follow behind him sometimes just because he was always singing and happy. And he'd hit a pole, and he'd say, "Excuse me, brother." But he was a funny guy. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? I mean, he was a happy guy, rejoicing in the Lord, but he was blind. Could you imagine? He knew that route he was taking. But can you imagine him in an area where he didn't know it, the area, and he had another blind guy, and he's leading him along? Well, sooner or later, they're going to fall into a ditch. And when you look at this word, ditch here, it means pit. There were in those days, a lot of wells that had dried up. And that's thought to be the case here. You'll fall into one of these deep wells because you're blind. Why follow a spiritual leader that's going to lead you in the wrong direction? The message of the kingdom always leads us and moves us to the cross. Today we're faced with many realities of death. Death can come to these places at work, on an airplane. I fly a lot, and I fly Southwest. You can sit in your own seat. And it's not politically correct, but when I see a guy gets on the plane and I know that he's a Muslim by the way he's dressed, I always sit close to him. Because my thought is, if he starts anything and we're going to crash, I'm going to at least kill one guy on the way down. So the post office, bridges collapsing, you don't know. I used to go, had a hunting place that I'd go to, one Thursday night, the river was up. In Tennessee, it's the Loosahatchee River. The river was up, and it washed the bridge out that I'd been across the weekend before. And five cars went off into there before somebody realized that the bridge was out. You never know when death is going to come. It could come in an envelope in the mail, or our food, or our water, or the air that you breathe. Death can come in the most unexpected way. Proverbs said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring." So terrorists are in places that we least expect. And so it brings fear, anxiety, paranoia. People are just paranoid over all kinds of things. But there's something more dangerous than that, and that's religious terrorists. And Jesus was talking to the religious crowd here. He was speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes. And he was saying, "Hey, can the blind lead the blind?" They're hidden in our churches, mosques, cathedrals, temples that people think are safe places. And a lot of these leaders, they appear as preachers and teachers and priests, clerics, gurus, rabbis, theologians. And people hear their message and they go away thinking, I'm okay. I went to church today. They make you feel safe, but they're leading you to the pit. That word pit is used in Psalms as the place called hell, Sheol. They're dangerous. Terrorists, religious terrorists, they kill people eternally. People try to protect themselves from terrorists. We buy guns and arm ourselves, take self-defense classes. We have food and water and stored up. But how do you protect your soul? How do you protect your mind from religious terrorists? It sounds good. I often hear people say, oh, I just love that guy that's on TV. And I'm thinking, how can you listen to that? It's the lie of Satan. You're a good person. Just do your best. Join our group. If you join our church, you'll be okay. We're all going to heaven anyway. We're all God's children. See, that's the lie of Satan. That's called spiritual and religious terrorist. Because they're leading you straight into hell on a broad road of destruction. So people hear these lies and they're thinking that I'm okay. I've prayed. I've joined. It's poison that they leave with them. They're poison. See, the point Jesus is making is you have to make a choice. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. Your eternity depends on who you're following. Are you following a spiritual leader? Are you following a religion? Are you following your baptism, your church membership? Or have you received Jesus Christ? Are you following Him? They're spiritually poisoned, and Jesus says, I give life. See, this is the issue. And why call ye me Lord, He says on down in verse 46. Lord, and do not the things which I say. He's talking to these Pharisees and scribes. He said, you call me Lord, but yet you don't follow what I'm saying. You don't follow me. Who are you following? Your eternal soul depends on who you follow. So he gives some examples here in these verses of some pictures that we can see. And that first one is this guy that's blind. He's without truth. That's what it means in this verse. Here's a guy without truth, and yet he's trying to lead somebody else. And they both go into the pit. It's kind of a funny, humorous thing when you read it, but then it's not funny because this disaster is the end. Disaster is the end of that false teacher that leads you into hell, that leads you astray. Blindness was a major issue in that day, and we know that because Jesus led many people to Him and healed them of their blindness. Can the blind lead the blind? That's an axiom, which is simply it's a truth that is self-evident. It's true. You know, there's no way a blind man can lead a blind man. He'll fall into the ditch. He'll fall into the pit. You follow a person that doesn't know the way to the kingdom of God, and that's what will happen to you. Metaphorically, through the Bible, blindness was used as being void of no spiritual insight, no spiritual understanding. Isaiah 29:10 says, He hath closed your eyes, talking to the children of Israel. In chapter 44 and verse 18, it says, He hath shut your eyes. Jeremiah 5:21, have eyes and see not. So we're talking about spiritual blindness here. Psalms 82:5 says, and they walk in darkness. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. So people don't know that they're blind. Somebody has to come along and tell them and bring them the truth. They have to see the truth. They have to know the truth. And that's up to you and me. We have to tell them. You see, your family's not going to go to heaven. Your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles. Because we sit quietly by and say, well, I don't want to upset them. To me, it's a lot better to upset them than never tell them. And they stand before God and you see them cast into hell. So Jesus here is talking to the scribes and Pharisees. And he look at the second part of this, this another picture here that he gives in verse 40. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So they lack deity. They're not of God. They're earthy. This is a picture of the teacher and the student. In those days, the student would walk with his master. He ate with him. He slept where he slept. He lived with him. That was his teacher. We see that in Jesus. Jesus had the disciples with him for 3 years, teaching them, them following him. They knew their master. I love John chapter 10, how it talks about the sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Who are you following? Are you following the Lord? Are you following religion? Are you thinking I'm okay? You see, it says the teacher, you can only be as good as your teacher. It's good that our teacher is God's Word, the Holy Spirit. We're following Jesus. Because if you follow man, you're only going to be as good as that man. You're only going to follow in his errors that he teaches. That's the same thing you'll learn. His errors, his limits. But with Christ, there's no error. There's no limit. These men were self-deceived. They thought they could see, but in fact they were blind. They thought they were leading people in the right way, and yet they were not. It's kind of like a guy goes into the restroom, and he comes out, and you look at him, and you want to hand him your handkerchief, right? You see something on his face. He doesn't see it. Look at verse 41. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in our brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast first out the beam in thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Now that's hilarious. If you get that picture of this particular guy, the hypocrites. It's a person that lacks integrity. So the example here in the picture is the twig and the plank. Can you imagine a guy coming up to you and he's got a beam sticking out of his eye? And he gets up there to you and you're backing away. Hey, you're going to hit me in the face with that. He didn't even know it's there. And you say, hey, honey, give me the magnifying glass. Let me get this out of this guy's eye. That's basically what he's saying here. Here they are trying to, you're trying to get this beam, this speck out of somebody's eye, and you got a plank in your own eye. That's a hilarious, funny story that Jesus gives here, a picture. See, it's easier to tell someone else about their condition than it is to see your own. See, if I don't face the own dreadfulness of my own heart, I'll not be able to come to others in love, but I'll come with a spirit of haughtiness and a pride. Let me straighten you out on this. You need to be straightened out. You ever try to straighten anybody out? I tried to straighten my wife out, but I found out I'm the one that needed straightening out. You know, monkeys do that. You know what monkeys do? You go to the zoo and they're picking. And they're picking on the other one. And they'll grab it and something. And they show, look, see that? That's what people do. They want to pick something out of you and they want to show everybody. Hey, look at this. Look at this guy. That's how we are. And Jesus is saying that he's Lord. And when we get a look at him, we're going to see our own sinfulness, our own dreadfulness. And we won't be trying to pick little specks out of other people's eyes. We want to deal with everyone else's spiritual condition, but we fail to deal with our own spiritual condition. Jesus said this is hypocrisy. You know, what does people say about that? You say, hey, I want you to come to church. I'm not going to that church. It's full of hypocrites. My daddy always told him, he said, well, you go buy groceries with the hypocrites. You go buy gas from the hypocrites. You go to work with hypocrites. Won't you come on and go to church with hypocrites? Because you're one too. It's kind of like being on a diet. I've been on a diet for 15 years. You know, you come home before your wife gets there and you eat a bag of cookies and eat a bowl of ice cream. And she comes home and gets one cookie. Say, oh, what? Remember our deal we got? What a hypocrite. The hypocrisy there is we seek to exalt ourselves at the expense of others. Are you as critical to yourself as you are with others? Are you as loving to others as you are of yourself? Are you as generous to others as you are to yourself? See, that's the question. But we can see everybody else's fault but our own. What a hypocrite. There's another picture that he gives. Look at verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. A spiritual leader, the problem with this particular guy here is Jesus was pointing out that they were evil. What is your fruit? Where is your fruit? The fruit he's talking about here is the character of the teacher, the one teaching. And he's talking about holy living. That's what the fruit is. The fruit is holy living. And then it's the content of the teacher. What is he teaching? Sound doctrine. So the teacher that is teaching, is he teaching sound doctrine? Is he teaching God's Word, the Bible? And what is his life like? Is it holy living? Fruitfulness equals Christ-likeness. If we're bearing fruit, we're like him. Galatians chapter 5, we see the fruit of the Spirit, and it lists them. And you need to ask yourself, is this in my life? Are these characteristics of, is this characteristic of me and my life? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. That's a tough one, isn't it? Goodness, faith, meekness. Here's another good one. Temperance, self-control, holy living. Or, as a spiritual leader, you go to these churches and you hear what they're saying, but you see their life. And you hear their message, and you begin to realize that it's a message that's going to send them, those folks, right to the pit, right off into destruction, because there's no holy living in their life. They're not preaching God's word, but it's their own word. Hey, come be like me. Remember the Pharisee and the publican? They went into the temple to pray. We picture the Pharisee as the bad guy because we know the parable. We know the story. But the publican was the one that was hated. He was the one that was the bad guy. And the so-called the Pharisee was supposedly the good guy. Actually, he would be the guy you'd pick for your mayor because he kept the commandments, so to speak. He fasted twice a week, three times a week. He gave a tenth of all that he had. Man, that's a pretty good guy. That's a good religion. He's a good deacon. And you look over at the publican, he was hated, but he realized he had no reason to even be in the temple. He didn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. But he just smote upon his breast. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, he saw his condition. A religious man can't see his condition because he thinks he's okay. The Pharisee, it was hard for a Pharisee to see that he needed a Savior because he thought, I'm keeping the law. I'm giving. I'm a member of the church. I'm a deacon. I'm the priest. And yet he didn't know the Lord. And Jesus is saying, it's nothing but evil comes from that man's teaching. He's evil. And you'll know that by the fruit that he bears. You know, I got a plum tree. And this last year was the first year that we've had a bunch of plums on it. Before that, you'd have just a few. I don't know what the deal was or what was going on. I'm not much of a, don't have much of a green thumb, so. But if the tree doesn't bear fruit, Jesus comes along, he said, well, cut the tree down. If it's not bearing any fruit, that's what's going to happen one day. There's no fruit. You're following that leader. And Jesus says, you'll stand before, it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. And we'll stand before God and be judged. You see, that teacher, he's impacting those that he's teaching. They're impacted by what he says. And they come by the hundreds and thousands. And they hear a guy say, oh, I don't want to talk negative things about sin. We don't want to discuss sin here, but, you know, God loves all of us. We're all God's children. And it leads those people straight to destruction. Jesus is Lord. He's the one that gives all the glory. We don't make Jesus Lord. He is Lord. Not everyone that has a Bible has your best interest. Not everyone on TV that names Christ is a true teacher of Christ. Sound doctrine and holy living are the marks of a true prophet, of a true preacher. When people feed on impact, on error, the impact will be, like Timothy says, it'll be like gangrene. ungodliness and bitterness, bitter division. That's going to be the result of that man's teaching. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, it's God's word. It's not talking about current events, unless you're using that as an example through the scripture. But it's teaching God's word that makes a difference in a person's life. It's not hearing some good stories and some funny, hilarious guy that's great with oratory, and that's not it. It's hearing God's word. God's word changes lives. It changes us. False teachers can't fix you because they can't fix themselves. They're evil. They're evil, and some of them don't even know it. Some of them are evil and know it. They can't restrain their own wretchedness or their own flesh. They gain their own self-righteousness by their own religious efforts. It's their own efforts and their own works. And yet it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy He saved us. Whether it's in your heart, what's in your heart, that's what's going to come out. Verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Because it's in his heart. You see, a person that knows Christ, they're going to come to you in love. They're not going to come to you and lead you astray and you'll fall off into a pit because they're blind. They're not coming and trying to pick a speck out of your eye and tell you what's wrong with you. But they're coming in love saying, just like Jesus saved me, a wretch like me, He'll save you. And you take the Bible and you show them the love of God. A good man has a changed heart. An evil man does not. So be careful who you're following, or you'll wind up in the pit. You'll wind up in hell. The blind, they're earthy, hypocritical, evil teachers. And Jesus is saying, follow me. That's what He's telling this religious crowd, the Pharisees, the scribes. He's saying, follow me. He says in verse 24 of this same chapter, He says, but woe unto you. Look at verse 25. Woe unto you. 26 says, woe unto you. He has clear sight. And when you follow Jesus, your life is changed. You ever seen somebody, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But why don't you come to church? Oh, I'm beyond church. I don't need church. So they don't know their Bible, first of all. Hebrews 12:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. But they're blind. So they're leading you astray. Jesus has clear sight. His message is from God. It's not religion. It's not worldly. A worldly message. It's not an earthly message, but it's the right message. The message is, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the message. And Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way to eternal life. And Jesus said, if you don't receive me, you're going to face condemnation. You're condemned already, John 3 says. So we see that He is pure and righteous. There's no hypocrisy in anything that Jesus ever said, anything that he ever did. He's pure and righteous. His life is sinful, sinless. He's not sinful. But you can see the fruit in his life. No evil, no sin. Who are you following? Consider him. Consider Christ. Look at verse 46. And why call ye me Lord and do not the things which I say? And he goes on. I won't read the rest of these verses because we don't have any more time. But so we're to build on that truth. Build on the truth. Consent to the truth. Verse 47. God's word is truth. The Bible is the word of God. That song that we sing in church, teach kids, the B-I-B-L-E. The wise man built his house upon the what? The rock. That foundation being Jesus Christ. And then, construct on the truth. The foundation is the key. It's the rock, Jesus Christ, and then we build their own. What are you building on? Will the things that you're building last? Is it eternal things, love, joy, peace? Or will it be burned up one day? Because we do what we do out of somebody patting us on the back. Or we sing because I know I can sing. What are you singing for? For the glory of God? Why do you pass out tracts? If it's for the right reason, it's for him, those things is what will last. When you build on Jesus, you'll not face destruction. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to, as we consider you and your lordship and who you are, that we'll look at our own lives and, Lord, that we won't be critical of others. And Lord, that we'll look at our own self before we try to go to somebody else, knowing that we're wretched, we're sinful, not a haughty spirit, but a spirit of love. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to follow your word, Lord, to be grounded in your word. Lord, help us to know that we're on our way to heaven because we've trusted you. In Christ's name, amen.